You know, it is admitted on all hands that the second part of the prophecy of Isaiah, comprising of these prophecies which commence at the 40th chapter and which continue right through to the end of the book, are to be regarded as the most sublime and most important part of the Old Testament. The latter part of the book of Isaiah is often referred to as the New Testament section of the book. It consists also of 27 chapters similar to that of the New Testament, which consists of 27 books. It commences there with the ministry of John the Baptist. You look down there with me and you'll see it in verses 3 to 4, as in Matthew 3, 1 to 3. It emphasizes Christ and his great plan of salvation. The heart of the whole book of Isaiah is that of Isaiah 53, which concentrates the mind on the greatest prophecy of all, the prophecy of Christ's death upon the cross. While the opening chapters here of Isaiah dwell upon and emphasize God's judgment upon his people, chapters 40 through to the end of the book, chapter 66, sound a great note of comfort and redemption. There's a considerable interval between the preceding chapter 39 and this chapter, which we have just read part of together this morning. The Jews are now nearing end of their long and bitter sufferings and fiery trials which have wearied them. And therefore the words of the Lord come again to them in the words of the prophet in the opening verse there, verse 1. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. For a time this morning, I would like to center your thoughts upon verses 28 to 31 and consider the question, how can the Christian find comfort? You see, the reality is, men and women and young people, boys and girls this morning, we're either in one of three places today. We're either in trouble, we're either coming out of trouble, or we're headed for trouble. And there are times in our lives when we need to be succored and supported. We may lose sight of the path which lies before us, become downcast, perhaps, and despondent. And when this happens, we can be tempted to seek comfort from various sources, various people. However, we ought to look no further than the Lord Jesus Christ, the God of all comfort, recollecting his faithfulness, his unfailing support in days which have gone by. Tell me this morning, do you desire that comfort, that strength, even this morning, as we meet together here in Armagh, in this meeting house? If so, I suggest to you this morning, there must be, first of all, a paused remembrance. Look there at verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. You see, the people in Isaiah's day had become drained and discouraged. They had developed memory trouble, we could say. They had lost sight of Christ. And surely today this is what happens during life's troubles, during life's difficulties, to the very best of us. We lose sight of Christ. How can we find comfort? There has to be that paused remembrance. You see, we need to stop. We need to take stock of what the Lord has done. Remember past blessings. Remember those precious promises, even which we have sung about this morning already. You see, these people in which Isaiah is speaking of here, in his day, they were found whining and not worshipping. And you know, we need to pause and remember at times. In our passage, the prophet asks twice the rhetorical question. Look down there and you'll see it with me in verse 21 and again in verse 28. But verse 21, it says, hast thou not known? Have ye not heard? Collectively. And he asks it again there in verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? Individually. You see, this people here, they knew their Creator God. But yet they were living, as it were, as practical atheists, as they had no need of God. Someone once said how easy it is to believe in the infinite power of God, yet at the same time live as if he is unable to meet any of our personal needs. Was this not why Peter exhorts us and to humble ourselves? Cast your care upon him, for he careth for you. You see, these people here in Isaiah's day, they needed a reminder. They needed reminded that God was eternal. We think of Genesis 1 and 1, in the beginning, God. God has always been, men and women. He was and is to come. We think of the words of Psalm 90 and 40, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday. And you know, our life only exists as it relates to eternity. And you might say, well, Simon, what do you mean by that? Well, it's simply this, men and women, this morning. This wee bit here is our life. And everything before that is eternity past. And everything after our life is eternity future. Everything that happens in life is as it relates to eternity. God is eternal. 2 Peter 3:88, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. God is eternal. This wee bit, what we're living just at the moment here in life, you know, it seems so long at times. There's all these different broadcasts happening daily at times. Fear is rising in so many different places. What does the scripture say about life? It's but a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then it vanishes away. That's life. But God is eternal. But not only is God eternal, and these people needed reminded, we need reminded, he was unchangeable. Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I change not. And tell me, men and women, this morning, has God changed? Has God changed? Oh yes, we change, we fluctuate. We're up here in the mountaintop, we're down in the valley, we're all over the place. We change. But has God changed? Will he forsake his own? Oh yes, we forsake him at times. Oh, he has directed us, he has led us, he guides us, he instructs us, but yet we don't want to hear it. Perhaps this morning he's speaking to you, you don't want to hear him. You don't want to hear what he has to say to you. But yet is his ear closed to his people this morning? No, God is unchangeable. For I am the Lord, I change not. But also these people needed reminded that God was sovereign. We see there in the second part of verse 28, the creator of the ends of the earth, he fainteth not, neither is weary. And you know, he who spoke everything into existence, way back then in creation, he knows and he will take care of his own people, even in these days in which we're living, in so much uncertainty economically, in so many ways as regards to our health. But yet he's still in control. He's sovereign. He has a providential plan and a purpose. And you know what may have came as a shock to us? Perhaps you had made a forecast of where you wanted to be this time, next year, this time, in so many years. How many had ever taken into account of this happening? Who knew it was coming? Who knew this was coming upon us? Who knew schools would be closed? Who knew shops would be... Who knew all these things was coming? None of us knew. The finest of scientific advisors, and everybody's rushing to the podium now to tell us what to do and how to live. And it's good to take these advice on board and seek to be wise and to love our neighbour as ourselves and so on and so forth. But who knew what was coming upon us? The Lord knew. And the Lord knows this morning. He's eternal, unchangeable, he's sovereign. He rules over us this morning, even today, in the same power as he exercised even those all those years ago in the garden, in creation of the world. We grow tired in our labours. Oh, we are prone to fail. We're prone to faint. But he never grows tired in his. In the verses 22 and 23, we see there that the Lord's rule over sinful man, he never wearies either of bringing their works to naught or punishing sinful rebellion. If you have a sinful heart this morning, you want to live as you please today, you know, You may run for a time, but the Lord punishes sin. In verse 11, Isaiah describes the dealings of the Lord then with his people. With his people, look down there and see it for yourself. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. Gather the lambs, carry them. Lead those that are with young. Do you see this morning the tenderness of the Saviour which is in view? The Saviour whom we serve, the Saviour whom we love today, the Lord is our shepherd and we are his flock. Have we forgotten this wonderful truth today? Have we forgotten the power of our God today? Oh, has anxiety arisen amongst us? You see, sometimes there needs to be a paused remembrance. But see also with me this morning how there needs to be a patience required. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm not very patient. I have to confess this morning, I'm not very patient. I like things to happen. I like them to happen now. Not very patient. But if the believer is to find comfort, we see there in verse 31, it's, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, and so on and so forth. How do they access this strength? How do they find this comfort? The answer is there, clearly given for us in those three words. They that wait. What waiting is not? Consider with me. What waiting is not? You know, people have some wonderful ideas about what waiting is, what waiting is not. And just want to consider what waiting is not. And waiting, my friends, this morning is not wasting. It's not wasting sitting back and doing nothing. It's not wasting. It's not worrying. Some people worry themselves half to death, reaching that state of being overcome with anxiety. But waiting is not worrying. Waiting is not wallowing. So easy it is while you wait on something to happen in your life or your circumstances or situation you find yourself in just to be overcome with self-pity. Poor me. The old world owes me a living. You wallow in self-pity. But waiting is not wallowing. Also, friends, waiting is not wandering. It's not wandering. Straying from that which the Lord has for you. If waiting is not then any of these things today, what does it then mean to wait? Well, friends, this morning, waiting is to be embarked upon in prayer and with patience. Psalm 40 in the verse 1, we read these words, I waited patiently for the Lord and he inclined unto me, and what then? He heard my cry. You see, waiting is prayerfully slowing. It's slowing, it's delaying, it's giving way. You know, as I was thinking of waiting and thinking of these things, I remembered back to that day when I was doing my driving test. And you know, when you maybe you think back to that day in your own life and you're coming up, and when you come to the give way sign, what do? You cover the brake. And you look left and you look right and then you proceed on with caution. You slow right down and make sure that it's safe to proceed. And you know, this to me was an apt description of what it is to wait, a slowing down and giving way to God, not to our desires and seeking what we want, but giving way to him, what he wants, yielding to his perfect will. It's a slowing, but it's also a searching, a deliberating, it's a pondering. Pondering his will, pondering, searching our own heart out. What is it the Lord is trying to teach us as we wait? As we go through this state in which we find ourselves in, have you asked yourself that question even this morning as we consider this coronavirus and all that we're coming in contact with? What is the Lord trying to teach you this morning? What's he teaching you? Oh, you can look round and say, yes, it's a judgment upon the world and it's this and it's that and the other, but bring it right home to you. What's he teaching you this morning? What's he teaching me? Waiting is also that surrendering. Resigning yourself to his perfect will for your life. But also waiting is that securing. Securing that which he has for you. We think of Elijah as he waited there on the Lord by the brook Cherith. You know, we could have went on here, there, yonder, but where the provision was there in that place at that appointed time. And that's where he was looked after. That's where he secured the blessing of God. It was there while he waited. The children of Israel, and numerous other examples in Scripture. It's there while they waited, they were blessed. You know, to wait is to do as children upon a father, to do him honour, to render perfect obedience unto him. Every blessing the believer enjoys this morning is a result of his finished work, his humiliation, his ascension, his death upon the cross, his ascension into heaven, even as he's seated there at the right hand of the Father this morning, at his Father's side as he intercedes for his people. All that we have and are this morning is found in him. Are you weak today? Are you discouraged today? Tell me, are you waiting on the Lord as you ought to be? Perhaps you're still unsaved. You've never asked the Lord to forgive your sin. You've never asked him to deal with you, to have a dealing. You never surrendered yourself to him. You're resting this morning on your own efforts, your own desires, your own plans, your own ambitions. You'll do what you want. As I said, even this morning, as I the words of that hymn had challenged my own heart. He's everything to me, but this morning he's nothing to you. You know, punishment for sin is everlasting, it's eternal, it's real. There's a God in heaven, he desires to save those that are lost. It's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to him for repentance. And we praise him this morning for that wonderful truth that is real today, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. His promise is still the same. Someone has rightfully said, look to the wounds of Christ. At the foot of the cross alone can sinners and saint find comfort. Hebrews 12:3, consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Let us trust in the finished work of Christ, our Redeemer, this morning. Let us remember what it cost him to purchase our salvation. Let us remember who God is, and let us each one be found this morning waiting upon him. Oh, wait, you say. Only a small word, but such a difficult task to embark upon. There's the pause. If a believer is to find comfort, there is must be that pause, remembrance. There is a patience required, but take heart, believer. This morning there is a promise to receive. There's a promise to receive. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Who are the eligible recipients of this wonderful promise, as we read of here in the Word this morning? It is those who find themselves fading and failing. Those who find themselves that are lacking power and potency. The intention here is to contrast the strength of the hardiest of the human race and with God and his unexhaustible and inexhaustible power. The illustration of the youth is used here in our text before us. Those with energy and zeal. You think of that youngster as they run around as a toddler. I look back to those stages as a distant memory and thank the Lord for those days, and I never want to see them again. They seem to never run out of energy. They just seem to keep going. And this is shown even in our text today of youth and young, and the energy and the zeal. The Duracell Baptists just seem to keep going. Those that think themselves to be strong but yet find themselves to be weak here in our text. In verse 29, the original speaks of those that are involved in the most vigorous type of work or vigorous type of exercise. Even they will come to a point when they'll be worn down by fatigue and paralyzed by disease, sin, death. Verse 29 and 30, he giveth power to the faint, to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. The young men shall utterly fall. You know, despite the fact that youth usually denotes this wonderful strength and stamina, great energy and endurance, vigor and velocity, The finest of young men can flop. The most confident of young women can collapse. Therefore, this promise before us this morning is no respecter of persons, of age, gender, sex, whatever situation you find yourself in this morning. We all grow weak, and oftentimes are cast down and faint. But yet this morning, praise God, that there is a hope for each and every believer when the going gets tough. Look at the contrast with me in verse 29 and 30 and that of verse 28. The Lord is unchangeable and unpowerful. He will faint not or grow weary. In these two verses, we see this wonderful contrast. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There's no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Oh, the Lord has power. He's all powerful. He fainteth not. Man is changeable. He's powerless. He faints. He wearies in all aspects of life. But yet the power of God is inexhaustible. Man becomes exhausted and helpless. How often do we embark upon something new in life and only after a period of time to give up? You see, our human nature is weak and feeble, even at very best. We're prone to failure. But yet, friends, this morning, the promise is here to receive to each and every child of God this day. That promise of power and of strength. Notice who gives this power. It is God himself. And he gives it to the weak. He gives it to the weak. Those that are without might, tell me this morning, are you weak today? Are you struggling today? Have you difficulties in your life today? No one else knows anything about. Well, you know, take heart today and rejoice today in your difficulties and your problems, because here's a promise, and it's for you. It's for you. Those who glory in their own wisdom and strength will receive no strength from God. We must learn the lesson that was put before Job. Man cannot fathom or understand God's plans. As verse 28 says, there's no searching of his understandings. It's easy when distress and suffering, difficulties become prolonged, to think that God has forgotten all about us, or he has become indifferent to his plans, his purposes for us, his people. But you know, he will give ultimate deliverance. If not in this life, in the life that is to come. His grace is sufficient. He's able to strengthen the weary soul, so that we may endure and see the work of him who is to us at this time invisible. It was that giving power to the faint that enabled Paul to glory in his infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon him. You see, there is a promise to receive, and the guarantor of that promise is the Lord Jesus himself. You know this. In the verse 31 here, we say, he shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You see, God gives revitalization. He gives that renewal of strength, which means to change or to put on afresh. He gives it. God gives revitalization. He gives elevation. You know, are you down this morning, discouraged today? Well, there's a mounting up with Christ. Oh yes, the world would like to see you down, Christian. I'd like to keep you down, but not with Christ. There's a lifting up with him. There's transformation with wings as eagles. The picture of the eagle here is used to give that imagery of one soaring up into the heavenlies. Perhaps during the summer period, in the staycation and all these things we're advised to do, you're maybe in a country park, you saw that man there, you saw him and he was handling the eagle and he had it there and he was sitting on his arm and showing him off to those around. He was firmly connected to his arm, or connected to a heavy weight to the ground, that he wouldn't fly away. But not this eagle here that we'll read of this morning, men and women in our text today. That's not what the Lord's speaking of. He's speaking here of a transformation, giving us the power to soar into the heavenlies, to go on with God, find comfort in him, strengthen him. An eagle that is unleashed gives continuation. They shall run and not be weary. Is that not what many athletes desire today? Is that not why they are taking these drugs, to enhance their performance? They want to keep going. They want to continue. They want to last longer, run longer. But God gives that determination. He gives that continuation. He gives determination, they shall walk and not faint. You know, many people this morning think, oh, you know, I'm not going on so well. And even as I'm preaching this morning, maybe you're saying, well, Simon, I'm not going on so well this morning. I'm not going on as I should be. I need to go home and clean up my ways, and I need to do this and I need to do that. Well, friend, this morning you need to do none of those things. If you're truly saved, you need to go home and look to Christ. In fact, you need to look to Christ right now. You know, some people think this wonderful doctrine of the perseverance of the saints, that that means that we have to do something to keep going. But friends, you know, it's just another benefit of our wonderful salvation in Christ, which He has provided for us. We persevere today, and we go on in our walk with God because what He has done for us, what He continues to do for us and in us, each day by day in our life, as He sanctifies us and draws us closer to Him. We are enabled to rise heavenward as eagles facing the sun, drawn closer to Him, running this race with patience, enduring even to the end, walking with God with renewed confidence and courage this morning, because we are objects of His love and care toward us as His people. Tell me today, are you having memory trouble? Are you prone to memory trouble? Prone to forget His power. Prone to forget His working in your life, individually, in your family's life, in this church life. Oh, we're prone to forget. How you desire this morning perhaps to overcome. You want to go on. You want to go on to higher ground today. Then I urge you to forsake your own strength this morning. Go forward in His, the God of all comfort, the one that is able to give grace unto salvation. Give restoration this morning to the weary soul, to that cold heart today. That believer that wants to go on, he's able to give edification this morning. I encourage you, if you want to go on with the Lord today, put off the flesh and go forward in the power of the Holy Spirit this morning. What does the Savior say? My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. If the Christian is to find comfort, there must be that pause, remembrance, a patience required. But praise God, there is that promise to receive. The day that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen. We trust the Lord will take that which is of Himself this morning.